Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This is Double Take.
Yeah, it is.
I got a name for you.
Okay.
Potsy Pozzaroli.
How about that for a director? I think this is his or her first time.
Potsy Pozzaroli. Yeah.
And I have to say, for old Henry, there's nothing old about this new movie on Prime.
Yeah, well, there is something old about it, right? It's a Western.
Yes.
So here comes a guy, this Potsy Pozzaroli guy, comes out swinging out of the gate with this old school Western. Yeah. Not revisionist, really, in any way. Starring Tim Blake Nelson.
How about that? He usually plays a yokel.
A yokel, a goofball, something.
Right.
Even when he's played menacing, which he has, it always comes with that, how can you take this little guy seriously, yeah, sort of vibe, you know?
Good example, Buster Scruggs, do you think?
Buster Scruggs, yeah. Among other things, I mean, this is a guy that's been around for a long time, yeah, so he definitely wears, you know, his face is worn. He carries that, hard-lived life, the lines of, yeah, a hard-lived life in his face. So the premise of Old Henry is the titular farmer lives on this property alone with his son. And they come across an unconscious guy.
Yeah.
And a bag full of money. And, of, yeah, course, you know, trouble ensues.
Some typical tropes. It's the stranger who changes things. You know, mm-hmm, this is life-changing.
Right.
And the farmer, you know, he's got a past that was only distributed very, very gently.
Mm-hmm.
So we know exactly who he is by the end.
Right.
But we don't know that. And that's, I think, part of the beauty and
of
the
course,
tension.
Yeah. You know, what we're getting is, this is not an intimidating figure, you know. Tim Blake Nelson does not cut a menacing figure. So slowly, as, you know, these bad guys led by Stephen Dorff.
Oh,
in a really great character turn.
If Nelson is good, Dorff is good.
Wow.
He is.
Yeah, so he's great.
He's such a bad boy.
And as his, you know, his little army of villains kind of descends upon the farm, we gather that Old Henry is not to be trifled with. And that kind of sets in motion the real, you know, themes of the movie. Like, is this guy who he says he is? How can this little guy be such a tough nut to crack?
Things are not always as they appear.
Right.
I love the one moment when these bad boys who are lined up like the bad seven out there turn around.
Mm-hmm.
The first indication, you won't even think of it, but I think it's such a nice touch. They know who he is.
Well, they know that he's not to,
yeah,
be messed,
right,
with.
Right, right.
And I love that scene, too, because it does give you a little taste of maybe, you know, we don't always, when we look at Westerns, we're not watching a Western for a history lesson, usually. But it does give you a little taste of how, when confronted with someone who knew what they were doing with a gun, you didn't mess with them, because, you know, in Unforgiven, and there are many shades,
yes,
of Unforgiven here.
Yeah.
This is very derivative of that movie. But, you know, the lesson in Unforgiven is this gunplay, it's not what you think it is. It's a tricky business. If somebody knows what they're doing and taking their time with it, you're in trouble. You don't just pull your gun on anybody.
Yeah.
So the fact that these guys have him outnumbered, but they're still cautious enough to turn away from him, I think gives us a glimpse into some of that, you know, that kind of revisionist, unforgiven,
yeah,
thinking.
And don't you think just a bit absurd, even as good as he might be? There are too many of those, you know. But we accept that.
Right.
Yeah.
The point is, one or two of them will die. And so they're not going to,
yes,
risk that,
yes,
in,
right,
that moment.
Yes,
they're,
right,
going to play their hand another way.
I think, too, the relationship between father and son is interesting. And it's a motif used so much these days in non-Western films,
mm-hmm,
heroic films, in which there's a connection between father and child.
Yeah.
And in this case, how can you out there grow up as a human being, as a young man, as a teen, when nobody else is around? There's nothing but pigs. It's a pretty rough existence. Dad is taciturn. Dad's not telling you about his past. I mean, how? It's a really very nice tension between father and son.
Yeah, it's really well done. And again, like Unforgiven, there's this, you know, tendency of the younger, the kid to like diminish the father, right? He's a farmer. How can he?
Right.
And the kid is like romanticizing gunfighting, and he wants a pistol. He wants to take the pistol out. He can handle himself, but you know that he can't. And he's looking at his dad, who is this diminutive little yokel, right, with this snaggle tooth.
Yes,
this crazy little snaggle tooth, and you keep wondering what that's about, and then there's a payoff, right?
And one of the different things about this, as to other roles that he's played, I think you kind of mentioned this in the beginning, but is the lack of humor in his character.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, the kind of yokel that he plays
it can
be played for laughs,
right?
And there's no laughs in this one. I love that.
Right.
I mean, he is homely as hell.
Yeah,
he looks like he's just hiding out like a scared rabbit, and yet one of the tropes that I love about Westerns is there's always that sense of impending doom,
mm-hmm.
and the landscape allows it to kind of just gently settle in,
yeah,
where you know something really big is going to happen.
And this is what I was telling you the other day. We were talking about this. One of the things, one of the appeals of Westerns for me, or great Western, with especially when there's a great Western hero at front and center, is to me it plays like a bit of competency porn. Competency porn is usually like when someone is handling like technical stuff deftly, you know, like there's a problem and somebody's, you know, rerouting the trains and blah blah blah. But in Westerns, to me, you know, I think you can't watch a Western without looking at it thinking, how would I handle myself in this situation, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes that feeling creeps in even when you're watching the farming bits, when you know that you're all alone out there and you're chopping your firewood for the day or whatever, you know. We start to it lures you into this thinking about your own standing in the world, and whether or not you could handle yourself alone, right? And then you introduce the bad guys or the danger element.
So true, and I think paralleling our movement west, the danger, whether we would ever have had the courage to do what people did in wagons, going west, claiming some land, homesteading. It has all of that underneath it as well. So that's why I love the Western. I love it for its landscapes, and I love it for its danger, and I love also for what it brings out.
Right.
In those who take the chance.
Yeah. And we see these sort of conflicts play out. We see good guy, bad guy conflicts play out against so many different backgrounds these days, you know, urban, rural, but they're all modern. Sometimes it's sci-fi, right? There's something beautiful about the starkness of Westerns.
Yes.
And this kind of human drama playing out against these fast vanishing landscapes.
Yes. One of the standard shots, which would come from John Ford on up, is being framed in the doorway. The camera behind you,
right,
and your future coming up over the horizon. I love that shot. It still thrills me.
Yeah.
Even though it's not John Wayne, it's completely the opposite of John Wayne standing in the door.
Right,
but
right.
It's just every bit as dangerous. All right. Can we talk for a minute about Others?
Yeah.
You mentioned Unforgiven. This is clearly patterned after Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And part of its brilliance is that you're not dismayed. In fact, you're delighting in the little parallels that come here and there,
right,
thematically. I think it's which is a tribute to Eastwood and the ability to universalize his theme,
right,
in Unforgiven. It's so powerful. Talk to me. Shane comes to mind.
Okay.
I'm thinking about trying to bury your past. It says right here on our sign, you can't bury the past.
Right. And as it turns out, you don't want to. Sometimes you need to dig it up.
Good point. Yes. Yes. Sometimes it's helpful. But isn't that kind of true too?
You're right. There is a great sort of undercurrent of Shane running through this movie. The kid is older, obviously. You know, there's this romanticization of the gun.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember one thing in Shane that I'll never forget, the line, a gun is only as good or as bad as the man using it.
Yeah.
And, you know, another line from that movie is, it's a tool like any other. That's what he tells the kid's mom. But yeah, you're right. There's this sense of a past that's we're burying, right? But that narratively we need it to return. Whatever that is, sort of kind of, you know, lingering in the background, we need that to return narratively in order to solve this problem of the villains.
Of course, you have to face it. And I think that's part of the beauty. I'm trying to think also, not trying to think, there are so many newer Westerns, but one that you and I loved, I don't think this is there anything parallel in this with Bone Tomahawk?
Parallel with Bone Tomahawk? No.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Bone Tomahawk is that weird little kind of horror Western.
No, I so love
with
that.
Kurt Russell. One of the other great recent Westerns, probably the best Western, one of the best post-Unforgiven, is Tarantino's Hateful Eight.
Got it. Yep.
Which I know challenges a lot of people because it plays, it's a mystery, you know, it's almost like a one-setting play. So the characters, that what really drives that movie is the dynamism of these characters all kind of locked down in one place. And that ratchets up the tension. You know, one of the great, and I don't know if you remember this movie, one of the best for me post-Unforgiven Westerns is Open Range.
Yes.
With Costner.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Annette Bening. Great cast.
Yep.
It, you know, it's not, again, not a revisionist, not a highly stylized Western, but it definitely revisits a lot of those tropes, trots them out in a loving way, you know, and in a nice pace. That movie has a nice pace to it.
And our old Henry talks about the world changing, which I like. I think is a common theme in many of the Westerns we're talking about. He mentions the world as he's dying. He mentions that I'll probably take that out. I don't like that. But toward the end, he mentions to his son that the world has changed and he no longer has a place in it.
Right.
And this is about right around the reveal, which I think is one of the best reveals ever.
Yes. I love this reveal too. I don't want to posit it as a twist because it's not a twist.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Which that, you know, twists, I hate twists.
Yeah.
This reveal is really great, really satisfying. And
yes.
In a nice way.
And for all of us who have seen so many movies, still a surprise.
Yeah. and, you know, it calls to mind so many other Westerns, you know, without giving stuff away. The Left-Handed Gun with Paul Newman.
Oh, wow.
Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Yeah, you know, right.
It's suddenly, the reveal suddenly reveals a whole host of other classic Westerns.
Now, what do you think fits in here? One that I've liked, which is really more of a modern Western, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just don't...
I was going to say, this is what I wanted to say, Joe, I'm going to get to that, because this movie takes place, Old Henry, I think there's a title card at the beginning that says it's 1905.
Yeah, I think
right? Which is interesting.
I think
because,
it's six, but that's okay. It's the same.
Okay.
Turn of the century.
Yeah. And if you're a real Western movie nerd like I am, you'll know that the genre is almost defined specifically by every Western film taking place post-Civil War and pre-1900.
Yes.
So we definitely know that just by the time that it's setting, like the Western, the era of the Western is over. So there's almost a narrative sort of the implication of death hanging over the setting of the movie, you know, and the notion that this is over already.
Yes.
Already over.
I thought this was more gently treated in Tom Hanks's News of the World. Do you remember? Did you see that?
I did see that.
You know, where he's
it's an anti-Western.
Yeah, carrying the world to that world.
Yeah.
The News of the World. And I'll have a younger person with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's something similar to it, but there's something, yes, so completely different. I don't even know if it's a 1906 kind of date.
Yeah, I think it's actually, I think that movie does fall in chronologically with a traditional Western.
Yeah.
But what's non-traditional about it is that here's a guy who, you know, and I talk about the competency porn aspect of
yes,
Westerns.
Yes.
Here's a guy who's handling himself in an entirely different way because he has to navigate a landscape of ignorance, but he does it with a sort of genteel kind of friendliness,
yes.
A disarming way of talking to people. Yeah, I like that movie, but it does not satisfy a Western itch.
No.
I do want to jump back to No Country for
yes,
Old Men
right,
because
do it.
I don't want to...
Yeah.
You brought that up, and
yeah.
I think it's good because, you know, it that movie in its setting evokes a Western, right?
Yeah.
And you, like you said, it's a modern, it's
yeah.
kind of a contemporary Western. But again, it pits this, you know, one singular cowboy-esque figure against this other menacing figure.
Yes.
So you do have this showdown.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But it does play out in a noirish way, in an almost anti-Western way.
Yes, and it ramps up the whole idea of the villain. I mean, this is one of the most accursed villains in all of filmdom,
yeah, R.A. Right.
Barnum.
And it turns the competency aspect on its head.
Good.
Because
yes,
Josh
yes.
Brolin continues to fumble and make ridiculous mistakes.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes.
Which is his fatal flaw.
And Bardem's, I forget the name of the character.
Anton Sugar.
Oh, yeah, right, yes. Who's carrying this kind of air machine with him.
Yeah, the air gun that
yes,
they use to kill
yes,
cattle.
That's right, who is competent.
Yes, right.
In that way.
That's what I'm saying. The movie takes the Western and turns it inside out.
Yeah.
Modern setting, and then the villain is the one who's ultimately the
yeah.
most competent.
You know, one we didn't mention that I thought of, High Noon.
Oh, yeah.
And they're completely different, our two characters, Old Henry and the sheriff, played by
Gary Cooper.
But still facing off bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty much alone. Only he's abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
I think by his fiance or his wife.
He's abandoned by everybody in
yeah,
the town.
Yeah, and but in this case, Old Henry, you've got the son who's just sticking on him.
Right.
Who just will not abandon
the
him.
The one similarity between High Noon and maybe Old Henry is this element of time. Like, you know that the bad guys are coming. You know that there is a limited amount of time. Now, in High Noon, it plays out in real time.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the train is arriving.
Yeah, and we cut to the clock, I think, quite a bit.
Yes, that the whole movie, I think, if I recall, unspools in real time.
Yeah, right.
But this movie, you know, the clock is running out, right? You know they're coming. You know these guys are going to come back.
Yeah.
And so time is also of the essence.
And if our audience is getting tired of our dark themes here, they could look at 310 to Yuma.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a completely different kind of action, modernish Western.
Right.
With Russell Crowe having fun in his roles.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, we've got some real replications.
And, you know, 310 to Yuma is a great, that's one of the better remakes of a classic
yeah,
Western.
Right.
I love that.
Yes, yeah.
The original is great with Glenn Ford.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little impromptu session on Westerns, Western 101.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You do get a nice smattering of all those classics done in an intelligent, sort of respectful way here. Old Henry. And I guess we're just going to have to get used to this name. What is his name again?
Yeah, it's
Ponzi.
No, it's Potsy.
Potsy. Ponceroli.
Ponceroli, yes. Anyway, I think it's easy to remember Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah.
And this is on Prime. Okay, so that's just another service.
There you go.
Of Double Take.